Got to look at a couple of scriptures here. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know what has happened, and just a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, actually, it seems like time has gone by because the election has gotten in this mix. But just what happened a couple weeks ago, is that storm that went up on the East Coast and went into the New England states, and it destroyed all this. It was kind of like a perfect storm. It was half a tsunami and half a tornado as it went through there, and it left the wreckage that it did. In fact, it is a little bit marvelous that they'll be able to recover and bounce back as quickly as they have. But here are some of the images, of course, from that storm. A lot of things happened. A lot of things were destroyed. And, of course, they're now beginning to try to regroup from all this. And, again, I saw some of the recent images that suggest, or some of the recent stories that suggest to us, of course, that they're beginning to get back to some kind of normal state in some, as far as things like transportation and things like that. It's very difficult, of course, for them to get all the electricity back up, but I think most of that, to most of the people, has been at least restored where they can use it. Of course, if your house has been taken away, the electricity was not your chief problem right at that moment or at this moment. Anyway, but it was, you know, it's the thing that I think that strikes us about this and strikes us now about this is we're used to seeing scenes like this from somewhere else in the world, you know, the Philippines or India or maybe someplace in South America or something like that. But this is something that happened in territory that we're all familiar with, perhaps territory that some of you traveled in, and certainly we probably know people who live up in that area. We may not have talked to them recently or contacted them, but we've all probably have some kind of association with that territory up there. And so we're familiar with that. And here is something that happened, and I guess they're getting a little more weather this week, or have this week with some from all this. But and so it kind of suggests to us, I think, in a way, that just like 9/11, this particular storm has then caught our attention, or God's caught our attention again. That we realize that in 9/11 was a planned attack, and that happened. And it took us a while to recover from that. This is something that we couldn't control. We could report it. We could track it. We could say that it was coming, and you need to make preparations for it. You need to do. There's a lot of things in that, but there was nothing that we can control. The storm, and a storm such as this, is not in our control. I suppose if the earth lasts long enough, or this age lasts long enough, we'll probably try to get around to figuring out some way that we can control storms. You know, I saw Superman do it, of course. He used to go take a tornado and go the opposite way, and he could dismiss a tornado. So I know it theoretically, it must be able to be done. Superman can do that like that. But he's never around when you need him. He apparently was out of town when that happened up there, right? And that's supposed to be his location somewhere up in New York or something. Nevertheless, they will probably try to get around to doing that. But right now, things such as this are out of our hands. They're out of our control. We can't do anything about it. You know, and that's what sometimes bothers me, I guess, is that people know that it's coming, whether it's the Katrina that happened or this. People, they've been tracking it for days, saying it's going to happen, and still there are those who just don't make any preparation for it at all. Just as if it were their place or where they're standing is going to be the isolated place that is not going to have any effect from the storm that is about to hit. And we saw chiefly, I think, in Katrina, and perhaps we learned some lessons there, that enough people didn't move out of the territory that should have. And they did try to move more people out during this. But you know, the surge of trouble is nothing new to God's people. If we look at the destruction, it happened on churches and on Christians as well as others in there. Now, it didn't pick out the nightclub down the street and leave the church standing. But there are churches that were destroyed. It didn't pick out the Christian home and then leave the non-Christian home aside it alone. It took and it struck everyone. And that happens in our lives, and we need to realize that troubles do come. You know, there's the stories in the Bible are just like that. The Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. Daniel was in the lion's den. Joseph was cast into prison. Paul was shipwrecked, and he was beaten with stripes, it says. Peter was sent to prison. John was out on the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner, and that was after he'd been boiling oil. And James had his head cut off. David fled from Saul. Samson had his eyes put out. And so all these people are faithful people. The stories tell us of their faith, but they didn't escape the troubles and the difficulties of this world, did they? Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Clyde Gordon was completely paralyzed from his neck down. And he edited a magazine called The Triumph, and in it he said this: "Christ is no security against storms, but he is a perfect security in storms. He does not promise easy passage, but he does guarantee a safe landing." Someone said that the road to success is always under construction. You know, it seems that those who have it hard always, though, get more done. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation or trouble hath taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation or the trouble make a way to escape." One old-time preacher said that we ought to be good to everybody because everybody is having a tough time. We just don't see in some people's lives the tough times that they're having and going on. And sometimes that's what surprises us when they take the ultimate action sometimes, and we have looked on their life and think, boy, their life has gone good. And then they do something that is very terminal, and we say, boy, I don't understand that. But you see, God is not a respecter of persons. He has no pets. In spite of this, we sometimes feel like victims. It seems that we suffer far more than others, but that simply is not the case. You know, our hearts, of course, go out to those who are in trouble, and there's some things that we can learn about them, and when we learn them, we also learn about ourselves, because we are them, just a different circumstances at this time than they are, but Time as goes on, one day we perhaps will be such victims as they had and that transpired with the natural disasters. Maybe we'll escape that, but we're never going to be immune from it. It's always a possibility for us. I think there are seven ways that God will use a surge of problems in our life and use it in a positive framework. The first, Proverbs 20:30, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. James 1:2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." When we look at these things, there are several things that we see. The first is that sometimes God must light a fire under you to get you moving. Problems often point us in new directions. They motivate us to change. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, is God trying to catch our attention? You know, the world deceives us. But after a serious bout with trouble, we don't usually care much about what people think. Now, pride is one of the things that gets in our way a lot of times and puts up the front in our lives. But sometimes after we've gone through trouble, after we've hit a bottom area in one part of our life, we're not as prideful and we don't care as much what other people think, and therefore we're more prone to let God then direct us in another way. A second way is to respect us. People are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, just drop them in hot water. You know, has God ever tested your faith with a problem? Now, what do problems reveal about you? Well, James says this, "My brethren, count it all joy, and you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." There is something here that it does for us. A third thing that it does for us is it corrects us. You know, some lessons we learn only through pain and failure. That's the only way. It's likely that as a child, your parents told you not to touch a hot stove. But you probably learn about touching a hot stove by touching a hot stove. You know, sometimes we only learn the value of something by losing it. And of course, and this is a hard thing for us sometimes with people who are in addictions, whatever that addiction may be. No matter what type of effort we try to put into to try to help them with that addiction, it doesn't make a difference because they are so addicted. And so it is a painful thing to have to watch them actually hit the bottom before they begin to make the correction in their life. But sometimes God uses that to correct us then. Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, a fourth thing here is to connect us. When someone dies in a family, and loved ones, of course, gather from far and near for the funeral, people just generally want to be together when there's a time of trouble. When someone is seriously ill, their friends and their neighbors gather in to check on them and make sure things are right. The streets in the various places that were hit were gathered together, people who probably didn't communicate that much with each other on a daily basis until the trouble happened, and suddenly they found themselves bound together by that and working together to try to improve the situation in their area, wherever it might have been. And so trouble sometimes brings us together, and it also draws them to the Lord. David said in Psalm 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And many a person has called for a preacher in times of trouble to make things right with God. And then trouble also draws people to the church. It is not uncommon to see a whole family show up at church the next opportunity that they have after a death in their family. Sometimes when people get bad news from the doctor about their physical condition, they take a renewed interest in the church. And so trouble unifies. Now, a fifth thing is, that troubles happen in our life, is they're used to protect us. A problem can be a blessing in disguise if it prevents you from being harmed more seriously. Now, I read about a guy who was fired for refusing to do something unethical that his boss asked him to do. And so he was unemployed, and it looked like a problem. You know, but it saved him from being convicted and sent to prison a year later when they finally caught up with them and passed judgment on them. And so for the temporary time, it looked bad. Here, it was actually a good thing. Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." And certainly that was their intent when they sold him off. But it was something that would turn into a positive later on down the road, wasn't it? As he was able to save not only his own family, but he was able to save the world at that time by providing them the actual food that they knew that they needed. God is the only true surge protector. Now, a sixth thing is it happens to perfect us. If you recall, when they were predicting this storm, they were saying that this was a perfect storm. The things that came together made it such an unusual thing. The timing on this. They said it was a perfect storm. You know, problems when responded to correctly are character builders. God is far more interested in your character than your comfort. Your relationship to God and your character are the only things that will transfer over into the kingdom of God. Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Psalm 71, 19 and 21 says, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou hast shown me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And so we have the effect of trouble. It is a blessing in disguise. It is a benefit to the life of a good servant of God. Paul emphasized, in fact, in Philippians 1:12, but you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. And so we see the final thing then that we see from this scripture, the seventh thing that we see that God teaches us during the storms of our lives and the surges in our lives is to protect us. No, the surge of trouble focuses us outwardly on what is important, but it also furthers God's cause. For God to make manifest the fact that He gives songs in the night, He must first make the night. Now, the Weather Bureau in the Caribbean uses a plane to help check on the weather. And these planes have learned how to take advantage of the cyclonic winds in that area. So when they're going north, they get out on the fringe of the winds and they take advantage of those tremendous tailwinds. And they actually ride in the fringe of the storm and they save time and gasoline. And then coming back, they get on the other edge of it and take advantage of the same storm to go in the opposite direction and get the same benefits. Did you know that an eagle knows when a storm is approaching before it breaks? And the eagle will fly to some high spot and will wait for the winds to come. And when the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it up above the storm. And while the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring above it. You know, the eagle does not escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher, and it rises on the winds that bring the storm. And when the storms of life come upon us, we can rise above them by setting our minds toward God. The storms do not have to overcome us, but we can be powered and lifted up through the very power of God. It's not the burdens of life that weigh us down, it's how we handle them. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is at work in your life even when you do not recognize it or understand it. You know, He's in the storm with you. He's not left you alone. He's calling you to rise above it, to be a water walker, not a boat person. Keep your eyes on Him during the storm so it doesn't get you down. We read in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trouble, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Those who go through fire or water should remember it is God's way of refining and cleansing you for good and for His glory. Trouble is simply the factory God uses to manufacture the right type of product in our lives. A poet wrote this. He said, I sat by a fire, sevenfold heat, as he watched by the precious ore, and closer he bent with a searching gaze as he heated it more and more. He knew he had ore that could stand the test. He wanted the finest gold to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems with a price untold, so he laid our gold in the burning fire. Though we fain would have said to him nay, and he watched the dross that we had not seen as it melted and passed away, and the gold grew brighter and yet more brighter, but our eyes were so dim with tears we saw but the fire and not the master's hand. And questioned with anxious fears, yet our gold showed out with a richer glow, and it mirrored a form above of him who bent over the fire unseen by us. With a look of ineffable love, can we think that it pleases his loving heart to cause us a moment's pain? I know, but he saw through the present cross to the bliss of eternal gain. So he waited there with a watchful eye, with love that is strong and sure, and his gold did not suffer a bit more heat than was needed to make it pure. You know, when Adam and Eve were in trouble, God stepped in and he met their need. Noah's problems were solved by a God who cared. Joseph was released from prison. The children of Israel were delivered as they crossed the Red Sea. Elijah got God's help in getting some rain. Paul and Silas were set free from the Philippian jail. And God's saving hand is in motion right now. I believe in the New England states as they're putting everything back together, longing to touch and to heal broken lives there, both believers and those who need to believe through this. Remember the troubles that come into our life, and they're going to happen to all of us, has something for us, a teaching moment for us all. They are good things because they bring glory to God by the way that we then respond to them.